last word on the general election 2024.
I'm Ben Finnegan and this is day 20 of the campaign. Today we'll look back at last night's leaders' debate on RTE, a claim from a junior minister about the Occupied Territories Bill, and Sinn Féin says it's ready for potential economic shocks if it were in government. Simon Harris says he isn't sure if he would allow his Fine Gael candidate John McGahan join him canvassing in County Louth. Mr McGahan was ordered to pay damages to a man after a fight outside a pub in 2018 after a civil court action. Video footage of the incident has surfaced on the internet during the election campaign. Simon Harris was asked if he canvasses in Louth in the dying days of the campaign, whether he would have Mr McGahan join him.
I'm not sure is the honest answer. John McGahan is a duly selected Fine Gael candidate. He's on the ticket, as is Councillor Paula Butterley, and it's up to the people of Louth to decide if they wish to vote Fine Gael, which candidate to support. I've made it very clear my view in relation to violence, and I'd need to reflect on that, so I'm not sure is the honest answer.
Sinn Féin says the finance minister is supposed to look after taxpayers as well as the economy. The party is pushing back on claims from Fianna Fáil that it's not ready for potential economic shocks. Sinn Féin has been urging people to lend them a vote this Friday, and Donegal candidate Piers Doherty insists they're ready for any potential shocks if in government.
The shock is here in people's lives. Like, if you're a person who is homeless, who's raising your child in a hotel bedroom, that's a shock to you. You know, a Minister for Finance has a number of roles, not just to look after the economy, but to look after the people.
A junior minister is accusing the government of blocking the Occupied Territories Bill because they were under pressure from the US. The bill is aimed at banning trade between Ireland and Israel's illegal settlements on Palestinian land, mainly in the West Bank. There were calls from opposition parties to pass the bill before the dissolution of the 33rd Dáil. However, the government said it needed to be further examined and amendments brought forward. Green Party candidate Oisín Smith, who's also a junior minister, believes the Democratic Party in America put pressure on Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil.
I felt that. I felt that that was the case, that they were under pressure from the US for economic reasons. But I also know that what they told us was that they were not getting permission, or they were not getting advice from the Attorney General to say that it was consistent with the law.
Now, last night on RTE was the second and final leaders' debate. This one featured the three people who could be Taoiseach: Micheál Martin of Fianna Fáil, Mary Lou MacDonald of Sinn Féin, and Simon Harris of Fine Gael. It had been dubbed as potentially one of the most influential and consequential debates in Irish electoral history. Today FM's Andrew Louth was watching along. Was it, Andrew?
No. Okay. In a word.
And thank you for joining us, Andrew.
No, it was one of those things that it just seemed that all three of them were trying to play it safe. I mean, I think they saw the impact of the incident in Kanturk between Simon Harris and Charlotte Fallon, the care worker in the supermarket. And at this late stage, none of them could afford any gaffes or any major missteps. So it felt like they were all playing it quite safe. And especially the likes of Micheál Martin, I thought he put his case forward the best out of the three of them. And when I say the best, I'd probably mean the least worst.
And when you say, you know, they didn't make any gaffes, surely that's good news for them.
It is good news for them. There are some aspects that people might have taken notice of. I thought Mary Lou MacDonald, she got a good couple of quips off on the other two, especially the one where she was saying, like, you brought the crash and you brought the austerity, you know, just kind of really hammering home what Sinn Féin is trying to say in that, you know, this is what Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil have done. And even today, they're out calling for lend me your vote, similar to Phil Hogan back in 2011, in the 2011 general election campaign. That's what they're putting out there now. But I thought on the policy, she floundered a little bit, especially on housing. I think their housing plan, when they're trying to explain it, it comes across real convoluted. And even if there's this whole message of whether the banks can back it or not, which it's very interesting. And it's one thing that they've really struggled to get a hold of.
Yeah, this whole policy where you would own the house, but you wouldn't necessarily own the land. It's their way of bringing down house prices, which does work in other countries.
Yeah, and I think that's one of those things that, you know, the public might listen to that and go, well, will I be able to own the house? I think it's one that they... whether they own the land or not is kind of immaterial to them. I think the idea is, will I be able to buy a home? And look, I thought even in the housing conversation, I thought Mary Lou McDonald really struggled to kind of get that across. And even then, I thought Micheál Martin, despite the fact that his party held the housing portfolio, was probably a little bit of stronger on between the three. Although I don't think any of the three of them were any great shakes on the housing question at all. But maybe Micheál Martin was the strongest one. It was very bizarre.
They weren't allowed to interrupt each other really either.
No, and but one of the things I did notice, especially in the conversation online, was that Simon Harris would kind of mutter a little bit under his breath when somebody else was answering. And it was something that was picked up by a lot of people and something that people found very annoying. And but it was kind of his way of trying to interject back in there, because he needed a big night, especially after the aforementioned Charlotte Fallon incident. He needed a big night, and I think he was trying to use his elbows a little bit to kind of get back in and hammer Sinn Féin. He even got a couple of digs off at Fianna Fáil as well, which I thought was quite interesting this late in the game. And I said yesterday that if I was Micheál Martin, I'd want to let the other two squabble a little bit and then just come across the elder statesman. I think he started off that way, but then I think Miriam O'Callaghan and Sarah McInerney kind of got under his skin a little bit, and Mary Lou McDonald in the second half then was able to get her lines out on the pair of them.
There's been some commentary about the format, that the three leaders were standing so close together, and then so far away were the two moderators sitting behind a table. Do you think that impacted the flow of it? Because, you know, Sarah McInerney would have her block, Miriam would have her block. Do you think was that the right choice?
It's interesting, because it kind of goes to the American broadcast model of TV debates, where they'd have two moderators and then they'd ask the question of the two candidates. This time around, I thought it was very strange, because while I can understand that both Sarah McInerney and Miriam O'Callaghan, I thought Sarah McInerney was really good last night, but the two of them, they're trying to get them to answer the question, not to go off on the long-winded spiels that they have, and trying to put their pitches out there all the time, but about answering the question that's asked. But then there wasn't really much of a chance for the other two, whoever the question was asked of, the other two to interject and to kind of, you know, put the other under pressure. It's also quite strange that there were two moderators for three leaders when last week Katie Hannon had to deal with 10 on her own. I don't know. It seemed a little bit messy to me.
Yeah. And it wasn't too long. It was only an hour and a half.
Thankfully.
Last week's was nearly 2.5 hours.
Yeah. Well, last week you had 10 leaders to try and squeeze everybody in and everybody get a fair crack at it. This time it was only three, and because it was the three prospective Taoiseach, then it kind of lent to have a little bit more focus on them as leaders and their party in government. And so thankfully it was only an hour and a half long. But if I was to say it, it was probably a score draw, maybe a shade of Micheál Martin.
Okay. What are people going to take from that debate? Like, there would be people who would be these so-called floating voters. You know, are they going to walk away from it thinking, well, I'm definitely going to vote Fianna Fáil, Sinn Féin or Fine Gael?
Oh, I think the losers of the debate were those undecided voters who might not be as... they might not be as engaged in politics. And so they're trying to... but they have an idea of what's going on. So they're trying to decide who they want to vote for. And I don't think anyone really puts a case forward that you have to come to Sinn Féin, you have to come to Fianna Fáil, you have to come to Fine Gael. I don't think any of them really put that best case forward. And I think, those undecided voters, I think, were the biggest losers of the night.
And you were saying to me earlier that the debate last night kind of summed up the entire election campaign.
Very meh.
Yeah.
Now, that's how I put it that way last night as well, when I was posting on X and Blue Sky, and it seemed to, and a lot of people seem to agree with this. You know, this whole campaign has kind of been waiting for something for a rocket to attach onto and just launch it into another level. It never really came. Yes, the Charlotte Fallon, Simon Harris interaction really grabbed the public's attention, but now it's kind of dissipated again.
And I thought Simon Harris dealt with that question very well last
year. Yeah, I thought he did as well. You know, it's one of those, he was trying to basically put forward that, look, this isn't an everyday encounter for me. This isn't how I am every day. Yeah. And this was something that on the end of a long day, and he's been kind of putting that forward as well a lot. I thought one thing that was strange, I don't know if you agree, that the first few questions were based around RTE. I don't know if that's just a me thing, but
yeah.
Obviously, like, they are important questions, but to get the top billing, I'm not sure.
Yeah, potentially. I saw this raised in another podcast today, which reviewed the debate, that they may have lost those floating voters who wouldn't be up to date with the election campaign, yeah, following it every single day, and starting off with those questions may have kind of lost them a bit.
Yeah, because I think when it came to the debate last night, I think the key issues needed to be front and centre of it first and foremost. Look, those two issues, they are important issues. We've been reporting on them, and you know, there are questions to be asked them, they should be asked them, but I don't know if it deserved quite to be brought straight in off the top of the bat, at the top of the programme, ahead of very important issues like housing, like the cost of living, like climate and like disabilities. I don't know if it was at the same level, really.
And now, I know Upfront with Katie Hannan this week dealt with it, but there was no real mention of immigration last night.
So I think there's a couple of things to be conscious of there. I think they were conscious that it was covered so extensively on Katie Hannan the night before. I think there's also an element of immigration hasn't been as big a factor of this campaign than it was for the local and European election campaigns, and a lot of the quote unquote bread and butter issues have been coming up more, like housing, health, cost of living. And I think between those two combinations, I think there was just they were factoring that in there. And I think the reason that they had the immigration debate on Katie Hannan on Monday was because if, say, the exit poll on Friday found that immigration was actually a big topic for voters, then RTE can cover themselves and say, well, look, we actually had this. We had a full programme on it. You know, it might not have featured in the leaders' debate, but we did have a full programme on it.
And you say that you think Micheál Martin edged it. Out of Fianna Fáil and Sinn Féin, who do you think would have been happier last night after the debate?
I think Mary Lou McDonald would have been happier, because she would have, and there's kind of a couple of reasons. She was able to get, she probably delivered the best lines of the night, you know, between that line about one brought austerity, one brought the crash, one brought and the other brought austerity, you know, really kind of hammering that home, and being able to, there was one moment during it actually, was that she, and I don't know if this was really picked up much, but she said, never has the country been wealthier. Simon Harrison interjected and said, why is that? And then Mary Lou finished the sentence by saying, but everyone feels poorer. You know, it really kind of felt like Simon Harris was having his Tommy Bow moment there.
Right.
But I don't know if that was quite picked up on. It was certainly something I noticed.
I did hear that, yeah.
And I also think she'd be happier because Simon Harris had a lot of work to do to kind of fix that slide and to recover from what happened on last Friday night. And I think he was only grand. I think he needed to have a much bigger performance. He needed a real headline grabbing performance. And I don't think either of the three really gave one. So that's why I think Mary Lou McDonald would be happier than Simon Harris in that perspective.
Right, well, we'll have to wait until Saturday to find out what impact that debate could have had on the polls. Today FM's Andrew Loud, thank you for following along with the debate and updating us on it. Now, earlier on The Last Word, they continued the series of leaders' interviews, this time with the deputy leader of the Social Democrats, Keane O'Callaghan. Here's a sample of what was on air.
We had Ivana Bacik in here earlier in the week from the Labour Party. We've had Roderick O'Gorman of the Greens. There are other parties on the left who are all talking about maybe talking with each other after the election about a common position, maybe to negotiate with Sinn Féin, which raises the question, why don't you all come together before a general election as one, rather than having this multiplicity of options to the electorate, which often means it gets very confusing?
Yeah, no, it's a very fair question. I think that question could also be put to Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. Why didn't they just present themselves as the one entity, because a lot of their policies are very similar. We are contesting this election. The Social Democrats looking for the strongest possible mandate that we can get. We're running more candidates than we ever have before. We're doing quite well in the polls, fourth largest party in the polls at present, our best
but just
ever.
Imagine how much stronger you might be if it was Social Democrats and Labour together, for example, or even given that Friends of the Earth have put both Labour and the Social Democrats ahead of the Greens in relation to environmental issues. You're all coming from roughly the same place. Would you not be stronger together?
Yeah, look, we are coming from the centre-left. There are some key differences in terms of the different policies we put forward.
You can listen back to that full interview on podcast, and don't forget to tune in to The Last Word for its general election coverage every day from 4:30 on Today FM. That is it for Day 20.
The Last Word on the general election 2024. Today FM.